brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rarest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Egg, don't need all. Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
Yes, and welcome to Comic Culture. The radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio here in Hamilton, Ontario, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet's Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Captain Canucks.
Waiting patiently for the new Captain Canuck animated series to come out.
Indeed we are, Chris. Chris, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Oh, very good. I was just kind of joking around, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, and first of all, hey, welcome back to another
Wednesday. Yes. Well, how are you doing today, Walt? You're looking pretty good.
Thank you. You know what? I just got a good night's sleep.
Have you been working out?
No.
You look like you have been.
I had a six-pack, though, last
night. Oh, did you? Good for you.
Buddy came over. We watched the game.
Nice.
So it feels good.
All I got is a keg.
Hey-oh. Yeah.
All right. Listen, you know, for those of you who aren't too familiar with our show, every show we like to start the show with talking about comic books, and well, the whole show is about comic books.
Is it?
We like to talk about.
Often I'm confused.
We like to talk about the new this week portion because every week new comic books come out, and what do we like to do? What is this a favorite thing that we like to do here, Walt?
We promote the local comic book shop.
No. We don't promote them.
We champion.
Yes.
The local comic book shop.
Yes.
We let the listeners know that your local comic book shop is probably next to your bedroom, the best place in town.
You know, I do love to sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Sleeping
is the best, Chris.
Sleep.
But your local comic book shop is the place to go, especially today being Wednesday. If you're listening to this in your car,
yep.
You're driving around, and all of a sudden you drove by your local comic book shop, it's never too late to
turn
pull
around.
An illegal U-turn.
Turn around.
Yep. Put the brakes on. And then head back in and check out what's new
this week.
Is it today?
Yes, today.
This week.
Today.
Which is what you're going to talk about right
yes.
now.
Yes. Well, before we do that, we should introduce our producer.
Shecky Feldstein.
Yeah, Shecky Feldstein. He is our new producer. And Shecky, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I guess that Shecky bit's not going to get old.
That's not going away anytime soon.
No, we kid. It's Marty Berth Elmer. Producer of Comic Culture.
Yes, and Marty is going to be in charge of talking about our sponsors.
Everything, apparently.
What?
That's what he told me before
the
show.
I've got my hand in everything, Chris.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Careful.
Oh, hey-oh. All right.
Watch your step.
Yes. All right. Well, Marty, who's on for new this week?
Well, new this week is brought to you by Captain Canuck's Indiegogo campaign, where every dollar goes towards putting a Canadian in red and white spandex.
Good one. I like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on, but I guess Captain Canuck had an Indiegogo campaign to raise funds.
He did. He did last week. Shecky and I went last Thursday, and we're going to talk about it later in the show, right?
We're going to dive into it a little later.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
We are.
Well, all listen, right. Let's talk about new this week. You know what? We're going to start off with Marvel today. So for those, you know what, I often think that, you know, certainly just going into, you know, talking about comic books, but for those people who aren't really involved in comics, because they always say we're going to talk about one from Marvel, one from DC, and maybe people might not know why.
Right.
But, you know, the two big companies that basically contain 98% of comic book sales in North America.
No.
95.
No.
80.
No.
99.
No. It's down to about 70.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. Anyways, used to be 98.
70% of comic book sales belong to the big two, and those big two are Marvel and DC. Of course, Marvel has your favorites like Spider-Man, Captain America, and the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
and DC has your other favorites like Superman, Batman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, that kind of thing. Anyways, we're going to talk about a Marvel comic, and that is Thanos Rising, number one. Now, Walt, you may be saying, who the heck is this Thanos guy?
No, I know who Thanos is.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Thanos first appeared in Iron Man 55.
55.
So a long time ago, and after his major appearance back then, he's been in a lot of different books, namely The Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos Quest, and he was even had a cameo appearance in the latest Avengers movie.
Right.
At the very end there, he was the guy with the purple jaw. So anyways, this is Thanos Rising number one, and this is sort of like an origin story for Thanos, but it's not just like your regular origin story. This is like, they go back to like when he was born kind of story.
Way back.
Way
How
back.
How far you want to go back?
This is way back.
Way back.
He's born, and he's sort of like a mutant kind of character, and he's getting made fun of as a kid. And
Picked on, bullied,
and all that kind of thing. No. So actually a great book. Jason Aaron is the writer. Simon Bianchi is the artist. I don't really know how you say that. I don't know if it's Simon or. Anyways, great
Depends
book.
If he's English or French.
Yeah, I say that. I don't know.
Simon.
It could be Simone.
Hey, Simon.
Anyways, great looking book from Marvel this week. Thanos Rising number one.
Chris, that's Thanos Rising number one.
Oh, all right.
It's at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And DC has produced for us today the question, but it's actually the Phantom Stranger. And I say the question because I don't know if you noticed, but all the DC comic books this week have a gatefold cover.
I didn't notice.
They all have one that you sort of fold on the inside out. And so the first cover that you see is for the Phantom Stranger. But then as you fold it out, because the tagline is, who has betrayed the stranger? And then you look out, and it says, that is the question. And there's the character, a drawing of the question, who's a character of DC.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's a great-looking book. I love the look of it. Phantom Stranger is actually, he meets up with Jack Ryder, who then, I don't want to give too much away, but Jack Ryder becomes another character in the DC universe later on. Of course, this is the new DC, so new DCU. So Jack Ryder, I don't want to tell you who it is in case you don't know for sure, but becomes one of the sort of a secondary character, a B-lister character.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Stranger in this one is fighting giant monsters. And what more do you want,
Chris,
out of a comic book than guys fighting giant monsters?
So what you're telling me in this issue,
yes,
the Phantom Stranger, is fighting giant monsters.
Yes, he is.
Get out.
Yes. And of course, this is done by Didio and J.M. DeMatteis and Gene Ha and Xander Cannon. Yeah, I am a big Gene Ha fan. And he, Gene Ha did the top 10 way many years ago. And I think I'm still in love with that book.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the guy. I think he's a great artist. He's very underrated, I think, in my opinion.
Awesome. Well, listen, that's The Phantom Stranger, and that's at your local comic book shop right now.
Right now. All right. And we also have from Dynamite Entertainment.
Dynamite!
I knew you were going to do that. Dynamite! We've got Miss Fury, number one. Now, Miss Fury, on the outset, looks like it's kind of like a Catwoman ripoff type character. And you would be right. Mm-hmm. That's entirely. There's many scenes in here. She dresses like Catwoman. Even from the Batman Dark Knight Rises movie, she's got. She kind of dresses like that in her regular form, not in her Miss Fury form.
Mm-hmm.
She's got like Remember when she was going through the
puberty?
Through the airport, and she had
the
hat and the kind of the diamond necklace and all that kind of. Anyways, she's looking an awful lot like that. And I gotta say, I'm not too keen on this book. You know, it's I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I think Dynamite is what they do well. What do they do well?
You know what they try? What's that?
They try licenses and properties.
They try to bring back comics that were
defunct of the
golden age
and
try to revive them.
Right.
And they're very lucky that they have Alex Ross, who is a fan of old comics in general, who generally likes to do covers for these comics.
Well, this cover is definitely risque and provocative
in a way, it's
very Miss Fury, very voluptuous with the
torn outfit
and all that kind of stuff. So hey, I think Dynamite has figured out how to sell comics.
Well, yeah, you know what? They're absolutely right. What do I know? Maybe I don't like the story, but clearly they know something.
Hey, listen, Miss Fury number one is at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, and now this is interesting. So I have in my hands Archie.
I hold in my hand the last
this is
comic.
Part two of the Archie Meets Glee series. Now, I'm confused. I wouldn't have thought this necessarily would be for kids, But it's part of the regular Archie lineup of comics, mm-hmm. so I guess it is for kids, because really Archie is meant to be for kids, right?
I don't know.
Well, at least
Archie goes up into the teens and even into the adults, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I guess. And I just thought it was really interesting that they're doing this sort of Glee crossover, and they even talk about interdimensional things. And
yeah, but you know what? Honestly, Chris, what 17-year-old's watching Glee, you know?
I'm sure there must be 11-year-olds
that are watching Glee.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
So
I went out with a few girls years ago that were watching Glee, and
hello,
that didn't last very long. So
they were obviously 27, right, Chris?
Yes, absolutely. All righty.
Listen, Archie Comics number 642, if you can imagine. Hey, here's a question: with Marvel all, you know, wiping their slate clean and then renumber and all that kind of crap.
Yes.
And DC just throwing everything away.
Yeah.
Would, you know, Archie Comics be the longest surviving sequential comic right now?
Until in print? In print. Until Marvel or DC decides to go back to one of their old numbering systems.
That's not real.
You're right. But I would say a longest continuing by keeping the stand without renumbering. Yeah. Yes. I would say
good
it would have to
Archie.
Be Archie. Yeah.
Good for Archie. Listen, Archie meets Glee. And Archie Comics number 642 is available at your local comic book shop today. Please head to your local comic book shop. Check out all the new arrivals.
All right. And listen, you know what? For something a little bit different today, I thought we'd go with an all Krantz music day. Now, I know you're saying, well, how is that
Chris,
different?
I think I love you.
Well, we're going to play some songs that I've never played from Krantz before.
Oh, I think I love you even more.
And here's one that was I'm going to bet that was probably only played in Canada as per the French language section.
L'araignée, elle peut mettre bien singulier. Dans sa toile, il attend d'attraper les brigands en garde. Car l'araignée est là. Il est fort, agressif, il a pu s'en radioactif. Il s'envole sur un fil, il fait fi du péril. Attention, car l'araignée est là. Si parfois la nuit on découvre un mystère, l'araignée surgit aussi vite que l'éclair. L'araignée, l'araignée, toujours là pour nous protéger. Il apporte ses secours, il ne veut rien en retour. Pour lui, la vie est un combat là.
Yeah, fleur-de-lis. Is that what that was?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they said the whole time.
Wow, that's amazing. I love it.
I love it too. Yeah,
and
you know, I've had that song.
Now, why
for,
haven't we played that yet?
I don't know. You know what? You know why? I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
I have so on my playlist. I've got all these different songs from Spider-Man. And
yeah.
It only tells you the first couple words, like, is, you know, on my iPod kind of thing,
right.
Like that, like, you know, because it's just so it just says Spider-Man the, and so I figured, well, that must be the intro again.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was a French version of it, so I never bothered playing it because what's the point, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, anyways, there you go.
Well, French I'm glad version. You discovered it.
Well,
that
me too.
That was brilliant.
Brilliant.
The things you'll find out just by trying things.
That's yeah, how right. about that, eh? Crazy, yeah. Right. Yeah, crazy. All right, you know
listen,
what?
That takes us into, I think, mailbag. Which our producer Marty has a sponsor, and I believe he has the email.
He has the question as well.
The question,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer Shecky, actually.
Shecky.
Sorry, Shecky. Okay. Go ahead, Shecky.
So, Comic Culture Mailbag this week is brought to you by Glee, because everyone wants to hear songs they usually hate, made tolerable by young, sexy people singing them.
Great point.
You said it.
All right, and this one, this one's a little bit of an essay for you here, guys, because I think that this character is actually really in-depth, which is it's good to
this
hear.
This character, so he's not an actual person, he's just a character?
Well, let's just hear what he has to say, and you can judge.
All right, fair enough. Okay.
So, dear, and this is addressed to both Walter and Chris.
Oh, good.
All right, Chris, I'll let you handle this.
No, thanks.
All right. I am 30, have a bit of spare money, and am a collector in personality. I know how great comics in general are for investments, but art is also a wise choice, it seems. For a relative comic newbie wanting to become involved, would comics or art from comic books be the wiser investment? Remember, I don't have the most extensive comic book knowledge yet, so simpler or safest, the better. Also, whichever you choose, any tips? And this is from Corey in Kincardine.
So let me get this straight, Corey. Corey, you want us, Chris and I here, through our 78 years of combined
79, yeah,
at least
79,
yeah.
To just, you know, just spew it out to make you rich so you can sit there and do nothing.
That's what he wants. Like, I think he wants free consultation as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Free consultation. I'm sorry.
It seems like what it is.
That's what he wants. Free
consultation.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, do you want to start? I mean,
well,
I can pick it up.
You know what? Let's first of all start by saying both the comic book back issue market, I'll call it, like the investor market.
Sure.
And the original art market are both incredibly hot right now. Like, they are, you know what, if you want to buy anything decent in either of those markets, it's going to cost you money. The original art market was the place to be if you want, like 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and the original the investor comic market was the place to be 25 years
right,
ago,
right?
Right? So, you know what, if you want to invest in either of those things, unfortunately now you're going to have to come up with a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
Having said that, I would think that the comic book market is probably harder to get into than the original art market, only because you can still go to conventions and get original art from the original artists for, now, I'm not going to say a decent price. It's going to be expensive, but you could hypothetically take that same piece of artwork, throw it on eBay, and probably make money almost immediately on it because you get a quick turnaround because original art, there's only one of them, right? So if you find something that somebody's going to like and people bid on them, you could make a lot of money on it. Now, having said that, I know you're chomping at the bit here to get
go ahead.
We're taking this in.
Just this last weekend, I was reading about the artist Adam Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Adam Hughes, here's a guy that is a famous comic cover artist, I should say. Very well known for his voluptuous ladies, mm-hmm. as well as, but he's also a huge fan of the Star Wars and Indiana Jones franchises. So here's a guy that used to do sketches for people at conventions. At first, he was charging like $30 to $50 for a quick pencil sketch. Then he upped it to $100, and then it became, you know, $300, and then it was a case where he would actually auction off a chance to get a sketch on eBay before the actual show. Mm-hmm. So he would try to get your sketch done, you know, for whatever it would end up costing you. And then, but still, what was happening was these guys were taking those sketches and throwing them up on eBay and getting, you know, 10 times that in some cases. Like, mm-hmm. you could literally buy one of these sketches for $200 and sometimes you're selling for up to $2,000
right.
on eBay. So my point is, money can still be made buying sketches. Now, unfortunately, because of this, Adam Hughes, this is one of the reasons why Adam Hughes doesn't do this anymore. He is just too busy signing autographs, and he's too busy just meeting fans to do a sketch, right?
He just
doesn't have the time at conventions to do these things. Now, there might be some up-and-comer artist out there who you are going to have to do, you know, you have to trudge through those artist alleys and look at every single artist out there,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have an eye for what's good and what's bad, because
right.
you know what, some of these guys are great artists, but they just haven't been discovered yet, and they may still charge, you know, $25, $50, maybe even $100 for a sketch,
mm-hmm.
but if they get discovered, then you could be looking at, you might be holding on to a piece of artwork that might be worth hundreds of dollars later on.
Yeah,
right. So, and for example, a guy named Chris Uminga used to do sketches for like $10-$20, and then a couple of years later they're like $100, and now you can't even buy originals from him. He just basically does prints, and if you want to buy originals, it's sort of like a waiting list kind of thing, right?
Wow.
You know, and he just does sketches and does all kinds of fun pinup type stuff.
Makes so a good living.
You can make good money investing in this stuff, but you really like anything, you kind of have to trudge through it and find your niche and figure out what's going on.
Ooh.
Unlike, I would think, the original comic book market. Walt?
Well, I mean, that's a game. You see, what's his name? Biff? What's this guy's name?
Corey.
Biff.
Yeah. I don't think people have names like Biff anymore these
right.
days.
Corey.
Anyway. They should.
It depends on yeah. Corey. If Corey's lazy, if Corey wants to be a player, he can do what you described,
right?
And be a player. If Corey wants to buy and sit back and wait for retirement and make some money,
right?
Well, then Corey should probably, on the comic book market scene, should look for these particular parameters. And I've said this before. He should look for a character. He has to have a crystal ball as well.
Right.
What character? The character that I pick, will that character be a viable character 20 years from now?
Right.
Will that character make that generational jump that you and I have talked about before?
Right.
Successfully.
Yep.
So if you think yay, then you take his origin book or her origin book, her first appearance book or whatever like that. Yep. And then you go out and you buy it.
Yeah, but you know right? Hold on.
And then you pick, though, well, what I think now is the smart thing to do now is to pick lower grades.
Right.
I honestly am a fan of picking lower grades right now for comic books because the collecting speculators are gravitating toward the higher grades, whereas it's the document that eventually will just be worth the money, more money per se,
right?
And the grades won't be as important, I think, in the long run,
right?
Even
right.
though they are now. So if you really like that character and you can't afford a 9.4 out of 10, buy a 7.5 out of 10,
right?
You know, I think you're going to do well long term.
Plus, I would think. Anyways, you correct me if I'm wrong. I would think, you know, the mentality of a lot of collectors is a completist mentality, right? Mm-hmm. So not necessarily...
Less and less, though, Chris. Less and less.
Well,
right?
But
the
new
guys coming in can't afford to complete a run anymore, well, so they're picking and choosing. And you know where they're gravitating toward? Key books.
And this,
right?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, you know, if they can't afford... If I was a completist, mm-hmm. I can't afford to have an Amazing Spider-Man number one in good shape, but I would still love to have one.
Right.
So I'll take a 4.0 instead
right.
of
versus a 9.0.
Right.
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 Well, so that's what they should do. And I think you know what? In terms of the speculation thing, what I'm noticing, and we should stop this quickly here.
Yeah, but we've spent a lot
what
of
I'm
time
noticing
on.
is when trends start. They rebound back a bit, but
yep.
then they keep going. So if you notice a property has exploded.
Right.
You know, a character has exploded. I would say risk. Say a character was selling for $10 for that issue.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's an explosion in that character of interest. He's going to be the big villain in a movie or a new movie is going to be made about him or her. And now the books are trading for $80 versus $10. Buy one. I'm just telling you, buy one. Buy one because, you know, it'll go back to 50 or 60. But I think
it'll shoot up to
it'll
like...
shoot up again. And I think long term, because if that character enters the main pop culture,
knowledge,
you know, just in the pop culture, you know, like in the forefront of pop culture,
yep.
then that book will always be worth money. So right. you shouldn't be afraid of, I could have paid $10 for it last month.
Of course.
I'm paying $50 for it this month.
This is all depending on how much money they have. Like, I mean,
right.
if they have enough money, you know, would I'm just curious for myself even, would an AF-15, like Amazing Fantasy 15, still be a good viable book? The first appearance
so.
Of Spider-Man?
I think long term,
if you have the money
Amazing
for
Fantasy
it.
15, but Tales of Suspense 39, First Iron Man are great viable options. If you're buying him at current market,
yeah,
I think there's
yeah.
still room for
right.
a new book.
But, you know, say it's a $50,000 book. I think he's just wondering, in general, with limited comic book knowledge, you know, spending $50,000 on one really, you know, defined moment in art, you know, artwork history,
mm-hmm.
or
yep.
$50,000 on a really good copy of a really key book.
You know what?
I think
he's going to succeed either way.
If you have
if
the most
he
simplistic
picks the piece
knowledge.
Properly,
okay. I would. Yeah. You know what? The only thing I would say about that is with original art, it's one of a kind.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You can
so,
always say it's one of a kind.
Yeah. You can. There's lots of Spider-Man number ones out there, but the paid the cover to Spider-Man number
there's
one.
There's only one.
There's only one.
Right.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
By Kirby.
So really, it's still a tough call.
Right.
There's no definitive answer to that.
Thank you, Biff, for that email.
Corey, thanks you
Corey,
for remembering
thank you,
his name
for
so
that
kindly.
Email.
Yeah.
And I hope we helped.
I hope so. All right. Let's get rid of this topic here and let's move on to industry news. Marty. Sorry, Shecky.
Shecky, do you have a sponsor for industry news? Do you? Do you?
Huh? How about now?
I don't believe we do, no.
How about now?
All right, industry news is brought to you by Unprepared Producers.
No, we actually, we don't have an industry news. No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
Brought to you by Unprepared
Producers. You can't live with them, you can't live without them.
You're right. For what you pay me, I'm really dropping the ball.
Know,
you're right.
You really are.
Hey, Chris and Marty, and listen, let's talk about The Walking Dead.
How can you not? So we had
The season. What do you call that?
Season
thing
finale.
At the end? Finale.
Season finale.
That was called.
Yep. Season finale. Season ender. Whatever you want to call it. Last Sunday night broke records.
It beat the Super Bowl.
It did?
No, I don't think so. But it, a lot of people watched it.
Okay. Yeah. Something like
12.4 million people watched it overall. 8.1 million in that very, very important 18 to 49 demographic.
Right.
Apparently, that's an important demographic.
Yeah, you're not in that demographic.
No, I'm still in it.
Are you?
Just hanging on by a thread, buddy. Yeah, right. But I'm still in it.
Yeah, this is crazy. So you know
I still matter, Chris. I still matter.
Well, you know, Ian, you will always matter to at least to comic culture.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, you know what?
Chum.
Can you say it any other way?
You know what? This is staggering because you know what? This continues to prove the point that you and I started making 5 or so years ago about how comic books have all the great ideas these
days,
right?
Yes,
and this was one of our points many years ago when we first started comic culture.
Mm-hmm.
Comic books are a great viable source for entertainment.
They're the incubator, Chris,
and
of ideas.
Hollywood and therein is taking all the best ideas from comic books. And you know what? This is no better of an example than anything else.
You're absolutely
because
right.
Walking Dead from comic books, number one show on TV right now.
It is practically. It says here on the I don't know what website I got this from, but the Walking Dead season finale was the most viewed show on television for the week.
Yeah,
is that possible?
Apparently
more than like Dancing with the Stars
or The Voice or
The Voice.
You know what are they, the stupid,
The Voice
stupid singing shows?
The Dancing with America.
Yeah,
what it was called?
That's right. Juggling for America.
Juggling for America with chainsaws. Right.
I would watch that.
Yeah. That's amazing. So that's kudos to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And hold on. If we can back it up a bit. What is Walking Dead about? It's about, okay, zombies. Don't say zombies, please, Chris.
No, you know what?
Don't
you know what it's
zombies.
About?
What?
You know what it's about? It's about the human condition.
That's right.
It
that's
is.
That's my point. It's storytelling.
Andrew, you know, our engineer Andrew laughed at me when I said that, but that's what it's about.
No.
The show is about
Andrew.
The human condition. The human.
No, Chris knows.
The show is about how people will react when placed under pressure, when they become desperate.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about people's lives.
Chris,
it's about the human condition.
Right. And it's the storytelling. It's the mirror in front of your
The zombies
it's
are
all
just
that
a.
Stuff.
They're just
yeah,
a.
They're a metaphor.
Yes, for
is that the right word.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not really where
they
I was going,
are,
but sure.
Well, that's all I have.
They're in a way.
All
you're,
I have.
You're right.
Well, can I interject? Here?
Okay, Shecky, what do you need?
What do I need? Like,
what do you need?
What do you need? Get out, kid. Off you go, kid.
What do you need, anyways?
You know, let me just give you my 2 cents on this Walking Dead mumbo jumbo.
Go ahead.
The book's great. You know, everything to do with that storytelling, fine art, everything that's great about that. Okay, I can see how. The public has adopted something and taken it near to their heart because they love it and it's great storytelling. The TV show, if we may. Okay?
If we may.
If we may.
Do you want to know what this last episode really signified?
What does it signify?
You can have an entire season, or half season, sorry, devoted to getting nothing accomplished, to having the same settings for every single show, and then having one cliffhanger episode right
Ooh.
Before the season finale to boost... How many viewers there will be for the season finale and still not have much
you
to actually
what?
Go on
you know,
for that.
You know what his problem is?
It's all about the show, the episode before the season finale, to get everyone to watch that and then just have the numbers to claim, oh, look what great things we've done.
You know what his problem is?
What's that?
Besides being too good looking?
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
He's thinking like a producer.
You know what?
You know, he's thinking like a producer
that
he is.
I got 2 words for him.
What?
Soap opera.
Soap opera.
Because you know what?
2 words?
Sure.
Okay.
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, with zombies included. That's what.
That's
it is.
All it is.
That's all it is.
I agree. So I'm not saying it's bad though. What's
show
your
script?
Point?
Each show script of 44 or so minutes.
Yeah.
Could be turned into 15 minutes if it didn't have so many dramatic stares looking at each other. That's all I'm saying.
But
you know what started that? Sergio Leone started that with the good, the bad, the ugly, the graveyard scene at the end
with Tuco,
with Tuco and Angel Eyes and Blondie there looking at each other.
Yeah.
Remember, they're just looking at each other. And the whole time, Tuco's gun has no bullets in it.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you
got
to watch that in widescreen so you can see all three of them at the same time.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, my point is, who shot JR? You know, those stupid Dynasty shows and Falcon Crest and, you know, Young and the Restless. All those shows, you could, like, their entire season could be wrapped up in one day. Yet they're still popular, yet people are still tuning in to them. So I think the format may be similar, but regardless of the fact, the show is still an excellent show and well written and obviously bringing in the numbers.
Well, I'm just curious, at what point will the fans who are diehard like comic book fans, because they do deviate from the storyline, right?
Yes, they do.
So at what point, because every fan out there cries, "Oh, this didn't happen the way it happened in the..." Anyway, so at what point do those fans, who are the ultra true to the story fans, and then at what point do the fans who say, "Man, nothing's going on," like, when do they become restless enough to just stop watching these season finales and say, "Nuts to that"?
You know what? Sorry, go ahead, Walt.
No, this is I just wanted to interject. We are on CFMU 93.3 FM. It came to You guys were talking, and something came to me. And you know what? When you guys talk like this, you know what I'm thinking.
Nerds.
I'm thinking opportunity.
Nerds.
No, opportunity. You know what I'm thinking opportunity for?
What's that?
I'm thinking, you know, above and beyond, yeah, okay, you're never going to be, you have your view, Chris, you have your view, and you're both right. But the point is, guys, there are 12 billion, is it million or billion? 12 million people watching every week.
Unless everyone watches twice at the same time. There's
it's
not 12 billion.
Yeah, right, okay, 12 million. But listen, Chris, what is the show Champion again?
The local comic book store.
Right. Now, 12 million fans of The Walking Dead. I guarantee you The Walking Dead monthly sells 50,000 copies.
Maybe a little bit more.
52.
Sure.
Okay. So, guys, we got to get these 12 million people into local comic book shops.
Absolutely.
We
got to
get these people saying, hey, I don't know. Like, I have like. Does the show remind people that this is from Image Comics? This is a monthly that you can read a year ahead.
Yeah.
Of what you're watching.
Well, okay, that was going to be my point is the fact that
sorry,
you know, no, you're saying exactly the way I would have. The show deviates. First of all, I've got 2 points. First of all, the show deviates from the comic because it has to. We can't possibly have a show that is exactly like the comic. It's a different format. You can't write for a show the way you write for a comic book. It's completely different formats. It's a different medium. The pacing is going to be different. Everything is going to be different about it. So it has to deviate somehow. Secondly, the show clearly has way more viewers than there are comic book readers on the planet, mm-hmm. right? So I think the people who are making the book would much rather have the same kind of viewers as the show than they have for the book. So, you know, why not have it be different? Why not have it be like a soap opera and reel in more people than ever before? I see no problem
Chris,
with that whatsoever.
I understand what you're saying, but also remember, if you go back to the beginning of film and cinematography, Shakespeare has been done in film form, and they followed the entire plot to the T. Like, films have been based on written word, and actually, like, the entire plot has been, you know, to a T mapped out based on the original written form,
and it's been
successful before.
Well, hold on, let me ask you a question: is Kirkman writing now with cinematic scope in mind?
Yes.
Whereas he may not have at the beginning.
Yeah.
Is he writing now with, you know, how, like, storyboard
well,
in mind?
Okay, for example, and this kind of proves my point is that. In the show, they go to the Center for Disease Control in the show, right?
Right.
Because the show is set in Atlanta. Robert, they don't do that in the book. But you know why? Because in the show, somebody went up to Robert Kirkman and said, "Hey, they're in Atlanta. Did you know that?" And he was like, I didn't realize the Center for Disease Control
Of course
was there.
I did, kid. Don't step on my toes.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. So you know what? Let's put that in there because of course they're going to do that.
Yeah. Right, right.
So, you know what, people, he's changing the TV show because he's got more things to say in the show.
Okay, listen. You know what this, what's the show called again?
Comic Culture.
No, the one we were talking about.
Oh, here. Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah. Walking Dead. You know what Walking Dead needs?
Krantz music.
Krantz music. It needs to help the local comic book shop. And you know how The Walking Dead will help the local comic
more
book shop?
More zombies.
Yeah, other than that.
To keep putting out trades that you can keep selling to people?
Other than that, what season is this, 5?
For the TV show, 3. TV show. Just finished 3.
It was
okay,
half of 3.
Yeah, yeah. Let's say one more season, whatever, is the riding high, 2 more seasons.
Yeah.
But then, you know what they need? You know when they cancel the TV show? Season 6, only at Image Comics.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because then those 8 million people, or 12 million people, will come into your local comic book shop. To pick up season 6, just like
Buffy,
just like Buffy.
Yeah.
Walter, may I just add a finalizing note to that?
Go ahead.
Is that actually a lot of speculation right now is going around the rumor mill because the last, like the season finale episode, wasn't an incredible cliffhanger because it was just kind of a Out into the Abyss episode that, you know, didn't really wow audiences. They haven't actually been picked up yet for a fourth season, I don't believe. So people people are saying if they are going out, that was the episode to go out on because there was nothing that you're waiting to see resolved in another episode.
Right. It's
I'm just saying that's just a rumor mill thing. That's just
it's not going anywhere.
I'm throwing it into the airwaves, Chris.
Not going anywhere.
If you're throwing it back at me, it doesn't matter.
You know what? Not going anywhere, but you know where what is going somewhere? This show, and we're going to continue on going on with the show. We're going to have a little Krantz for a little musical interlude. This one is Menace from the Underground.
Yeah, Chris, Krantz is it. Krantz is your RX.
Oh, I like
for
that.
For any malady.
I agree. I agree. All right.
Just throw a little Krantz on and you're going to feel good.
You know what? We spent way too long on that last segment there.
No, we didn't.
Let's change gears entirely and let's talk about Star Wars.
Hey, Chris, Star Wars is, I think, one of your favorite subjects.
I love Star Wars. Absolutely. Star Wars is awesome.
Other than brassieres. Star Wars.
Well, not so much the brassieres, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Listen, Star Wars, yeah. Hey, I read this. This is cool. So correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Yeah. George, what's the guy's name?
George Lucas.
George Lucas, yeah. He wrote the screenplay for Star Wars back in 1974. And they're going to turn the screenplay into a comic?
Well, okay, so, yeah.
Okay, I'm totally wrong.
So Star Wars, as we all know it right now, is the huge mega blockbuster billion-dollar franchise, right? So basically, what they've decided to do is, so George Lucas initially wrote a script for Star Wars way back in 1974, and his original screenplay was vastly different from the movie that we ended up seeing. What Dark Horse is doing is they're going to take that original screenplay from 1974 and adapt that into a comic. So instead of having, you know, Luke Skywalker, you're going to have Anakin Starkiller and General Luke Skywalker, the evil Sith Knights, and a 6-foot lizard named Han Solo.
Six foot lizard.
And instead of lightsabers, all the heroes will have quote unquote laser swords. Yeah, because everybody loves laser swords. Yeah. This is a terrible idea.
What are you talking about?
Why in the world would you go ahead and do something like this? Nobody cares about what Star Wars was supposed to be like.
No, they do.
No, they don't.
This is revisiting.
Look at you.
This is getting a new story out of an old story. You're living off of the old hype. Everyone wants to see, the secret origins of Han Solo. He's a lizard? Oh my goodness.
You want a new story? Create a new story based on the traditions of the current story. Don't create something that's, you know, from before. This is a stupid idea.
Chris, it's not about a stupid idea. It's about a selling idea.
Yeah, let me... No. I see Chris's point to a degree. So if I'm an author, that's the guy that writes stuff. If you ever see that, the guy's writing and he scrimples up the paper and he throws it into a trash can and then he starts writing and he scrimples up the paper. And then, you know, the segue, the melt into another frame and there's like 700 pieces of paper.
Right.
Guy can't get the story right.
Yeah.
Well, how many ideas did Lucas have before the right one?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? You know what?
I guess that's where I see your point.
You know, who cares? He got the good one right. He got it right. And this could be
one of 17 attempts.
He realized what the garbage was and threw it away. And somebody went, oh, look, this is my George Lucas. We got to publish this because it's going to sell crazy amounts of copies.
Woo!
This is stupid.
But Have you read the story? Do you know the story? You know what's going on here?
Yeah, it's about a kid that grows up in the story. No, I don't know the story. This is stupid.
Oh, hold on then.
Whoa.
Do I care about it? No, I don't, because this has got nothing to do with Star Wars.
You're speculating on it being filth before you know.
You know what? This could be about some guy could have come up with this and said, "Oh, you know, I got an idea for this giant 6-foot lizard, and we'll call him Han Solo." And you know what? You know who would care? No one. But because George Lucas did it before Star Wars, when nobody cared, no one's still going to care.
Yeah, but you want to know why they'll care? It was because that's when he was actually writing good stuff.
Wait, guys.
That's I would say that's not true. I don't know if he's ever really written good stuff. People have taken his novel, people have taken his stories and created good novels out of it. But, you know, I don't know if
I think from what we just had here, one of the two of us will have 11 out of 12 listeners actually like giving us hate mail after this.
You know what? It won't be me.
I want. I'm gonna have. You know, to say, you know
what
as
he
a
wrote?
Producer,
you know what he wrote? Phantom Menace. Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he wrote it afterward. Like this was all you know down what, the you know line. That's what he went crazy.
You know what he had help writing with? Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what he had help with.
He had help from a bottle of Glenlivet, and it made things magical. Yeah, 18. Yeah. An 18-year-old.
That's good stuff.
The age,
by
he liked it.
Somebody looked at his original script and went, "Oh my God, we got to do something with this."
Well, you know what? I think we're parting the sea here, and we're each on a different tide, facing each other. Yeah, something
that's
like
a terrible analogy.
We're at the crest of the anyway. I think that maybe the listenership should probably comment on this.
I think so. You're right. I think, comicbookdaily.com, comments field on the
it's
bottom.
It's a terrible
there,
idea.
Right?
This is a big topic, though. I mean, a lot of people will see it one way or the other, and they'll be extremists. They will be either like you, saying, "Oh, this is the worst idea I've ever heard of," or they'll say, "Man, that's really cool. I'd actually like to see what this would have been."
Terrible idea.
Yeah. You know what? In a way, I want to know, is this the only other version of Star Wars he had?
Okay.
Or is this the one of 11 other ones that he was testing and trying and stuff like that? Because if this works, I don't want to say, oh, look what I found in the attic, my 1973 version of Star Wars.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I didn't know where this was.
I forgot I had this. Dude, look, now I've got the 1972 version.
Okay, do you remember what the sales number was for when the whole Lucasfilm sale went to Disney and everything just recently?
$4 billion.
I don't think he needs to scrounge another $20,000 out of coming up with the new old idea.
Yeah, but you know who does? Dark Horse.
Okay.
And they're going to take all those ideas.
They'll exploit it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all the first time we've agreed.
Chris, the one word comes to mind. Bitterman.
Bitterman. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it stinks, and I give it a zero.
All right, give it a zero. Listen, Chris, this is one thing I ask on this show is, please, don't sit on the fence on stuff.
Sorry, I shouldn't waffle.
Yeah, just pick a position and stick with it.
All right.
Even if you're completely wrong.
Hey, listen, let's talk about, Chris, now you're a little bit more savvy on a lot of things than I am, but including toys.
Okay, yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
So I wanted to talk about more these next two topics, and we're running out of time like we always do. These next two topics are more macroeconomic topics that have to do with, at the end of the day, with local comic book shops.
Okay.
And because you and I champion the local comic
book
shop.
We do. And by the way, we are broadcasting on CFMU 93.3
FM. Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Yes, we are. Yes. And we're also podcast on Get the Point Radio and comicbookdaily.com.
Right, we are. And I wanted to talk first about Toys R Us delaying their IPO, which is the initial stock option.
Initial public offering.
Public offering, selling stocks.
Okay, yeah, you know what? First of all, I didn't realize that Toys R Us wasn't a public company.
Yeah, they're owned by some sort of equity fund.
I didn't know that. I thought they were already a public option, like you and I could have bought stock. I did not know that. I think it's they have basically pulled out of having this initial public offering because they're saying that there's bad market conditions.
Yeah, because they wouldn't get enough money. Their CEO just left. They're waiting for a new one. Their sales declined over the previous year in the holiday quarter, 4.3%. They're getting basically accosted by Amazon and Walmart. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Okay, Toys R Us is one of those major box stores.
Yes,
but to a degree, Toys R Us is a specialist store.
Yeah,
just like say local comic book shops are like a specialist store. Toys R Us takes a focus and they run with it. Amazon and Walmart sell 900 million different products, and they just try to undercut everybody.
But so does Toys R Us.
I guess my question was is Toys R Us worth saving?
Well, yes. First, the big answer is yes.
Right.
However, I think they have done some things very well, and they've done some things very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Toys R Us is a great store for, you know, I don't even want to get into it too much. I don't really know that much about it, but I know every time I go in there, everybody and their mother is in the Babies R Us section, right?
Yeah.
So the Babies R Us section, they sell tons of cribs and furniture in general and
their
clothing.
Trends have kind of they've become something different.
It is absolutely
definitely the Babies R Us store. No matter what you kind of are led to believe, there's a couple 13-year-olds running around with their, you know, their Avengers action figures.
Right.
But a lot of the Babies.
It's all Babies R Us now. And having said that, I think it's become the Babies R Us and Christmas toy store.
Right.
Because you go in there at Christmas time, it is packed. But if you go in there any other day of the week, it is
the baby section's packed.
Baby section's
packed.
The rest of the store is tumbleweeds. Right. It's
tumbleweeds.
There's nothing going on. The toys are, I don't want to say they're overpriced, but they're not all that competitive.
Yeah,
they're okay.
Right.
And it's like going in, and they try to sell too much of everything,
mm-hmm.
and not enough of one thing. So as a consumer, if I want to get an action figure, mm-hmm. I might go to your local comic book store.
Right.
Again, championing the store, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Local comic book store to get my action figure because I know they're going to have it.
Right.
Or I might go to Walmart if I want to get a really good price on it.
Right.
So they are undercutting them that way. But
so your local comic book shop, you know, will have it because if it's say a Batman line,
yes,
they will have it for a year.
Right. Right.
Whereas Walmart will sell out in a week,
and
they don't care anymore because they move on to the next thing. Whereas Toys R Us somehow falls in the middle, is what you're saying?
Yeah. It's not really a specialty store, but it's not.
But
like,
it's not a Walmart
or
Amazon.
Walmart. That's right. Yeah.
So it's not a discounter, but it's not a specialty store.
No, it's sort
of stuck in the middle. So it has to define what the heck it wants to do.
Yeah, and then it also sells video games, which you know I don't really know.
But it's not an EB Game or a GameStop.
Or that's right.
I have to come in here because I actually live and still reside. I've left and then come back to the coop.
I love it.
I'm 50 yards away from a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what my childhood was like from 8 up.
Right.
Us running into Toys R Us, playing the free video game consoles they usually had set up, GoldenEye.
Uh-huh.
When GoldenEye first came out for the Nintendo 64, you know, the culture setting, you know, like the game
that was
defined
the game,
everything.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And it probably.
What was it called?
GoldenEye.
It was the James Bond movie.
Bond.
Yeah. The
James
first
Bond.
Pierce Brosnan
okay.
one. Okay.
Right,
come
okay.
on now. And it kind of paved the way for all video games.
Just a really quick interlude here.
Interlude.
Ian Fleming's home in Jamaica, that's what he called GoldenEye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ian Fleming was the writer of James Bond. So anyways.
Oh.
Ian Fleming actually worked for the British Secret Service in World War II.
Yeah, and his home in Jamaica, it was called GoldenEye.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Shecky.
So, in my childhood, which was when that game came out, Toys R Us was the place to go and play that video game. It was a place where they had the most creative and most ridiculous candies and like junk food things that kids would ever buy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
It had every action figure in the world, and they were competitively priced. They were they matched the same prices as a Walmart or a big box store would.
Yeah,
right.
I'd find all my posters there.
Yeah.
All my Spider-Man posters, whatever that I put up on my wall. They sold bikes for kids
at
very reasonable, like sandboxes, sandcastles. Everything that I wanted as a kid was there.
Right.
And I think that it's still there. I just think that Walmart has become such a conglomerate. They're trying to weasel them out. But I think that they still have the market in as much of a wide scope, but it's just for a kid to go in there. So if you're a kid and if you're 12 years old, 13 years old today, and you walk in there, Like, the entire world is your oyster. You're not walking into Walmart and then wandering into, like, the gardening or home
section,
yeah, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Toys R Us still has a niche market where you can go down any aisle as a kid and love
yours.
It. And yeah. love it.
Yeah. yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I agree with that.
I like that. Yep. All right, listen, well, hey.
And you know what I will say is that Toys R Us does very well at selling Lego.
Lego.
Yes. They've got a great selection of Lego.
They do got a great selection
and,
of Lego.
In fact, you know what? That, in my opinion, that is something that they should expand even more so. Because Lego is hugely popular. In fact, there's a new Legoland that just opened up in Vaughan Mills in Ontario.
Right.
And now, great idea.
My last take on Toys R Us is, I'd rather people go to Toys R Us rather than Walmart.
Oh, me too.
But
me too.
I still think the local comic book shop outperforms Toys R Us in terms of getting the characters that people want, because Toys R Us will be sold out of the good stuff way before your local comic book shop.
Yeah, because they have snipers
because
that go
they have
in
that,
and...
Yeah, and they also have that, you know, that corporate buying system that's less flexible than your local comic book shop system is. Your local comic book shop will adapt better to the customer's needs and requirements than a Toys R Us, and definitely more than a Walmart.
You know what I've never understood, and I know you want to start end the topic here, but you know what I've never understood is I know how when as a buyer, as a retailer, you have to buy a case of whatever figure, and that figure will have that series, and it'll have like two of one guy and two of Daredevil and two of Spider-Man and two of Captain America and two of whatever. I've never understood why, as a retailer, you can't buy, okay, I want six cases just of Spider-Man.
Right.
I want four Captain Americas. I want two of Daredevil. I don't get it.
Chris, unfortunately, that is a topic for another show.
All right. Listen. Yes.
As we are moving into the next section of our show, I want to bring you the next sponsor there, Chris. And
we
got to
get paid, Chris.
I know.
Absolutely. I'm trying to make this work.
All right.
Make it, not give me much.
Make it work.
All right. So, this next section of the show is brought to you by the comic version of the original Star Wars screenplay, where George Lucas focuses on the later years of his most beloved character, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
I think we can expect to see some Jar Jar.
I want to shoot myself.
His original draft had Jar Jar, I believe.
I want to shoot myself. Well, that's all I'm saying. Well, all right, okay. Listen, what are we working on here?
I think we're going to work on, let's talk about, Chris, we have to, it's a promise from me to you, from myself to yourself.
Okay,
All right.
Are we having another musical interlude, by the way? Or are we done with
that?
We
should, because this is going to take us to the end of the show.
Okay.
No, let's not.
Yeah,
let's play a couple of violins.
Hold on, wait, I got a quick one here. Hold on.
Chris, you're good with quick ones, I heard.
I got a really quick one here. Here we go. All right, there you go.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, real quick again.
Yep.
We have to talk about Shecky and I last week. We were at the Captain Canuck Indiegogo.
Oh, Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
He actually introduced me to everyone as Shecky.
As Shecky? Nice.
Yeah. And,
I'm going to call you that from now on, no matter what.
It was quite an event. We were at the Grand Hall at 1087 Queen West, and it was great. I found the event successful. A lot of people were there. We sold a heck of a lot of T-shirts.
Oh, did you? Good.
To the throngs.
Yep.
And Shecky and I, all proceeds, all profits from the T-shirts went to the Indiegogo thing.
Awesome.
So because we want to see the Captain Canuck animated series go up
become a big
property. I was wearing one on Sunday, and it was a huge hit.
Wow.
I literally had people coming up to me, hey, where'd you get that? And I told them, my local comic book shop.
Right on.
Yeah.
Good
and
for
so
you.
That's what I said they'll avoid in the future, right?
But no, it was a great hit. So hey, Captain Canuck Indiegogo, if you're listening, please check that out. There is a great, and I think the highlight of the night, Shecky, probably
there were lots of highlights.
Yeah, there were a couple of highlights. Headlights. Is that the right word? Headlights? There were No, I'm not talking about the headlights.
Headlines.
I'm talking about the highlights.
Highlights. Okay.
Right. The highlight was probably the great video that they put together for the Indiegogo launch.
Yeah, I found there was a problem with that, though.
Look at producer here.
I found there was a problem, and it didn't have me in it.
Fair enough.
It was
great.
Good. It was actually very well done.
Yeah, so check out Indiegogo, Captain Canuck, and if you feel generous, if you feel patriotic, if you're listening in Canada.
Well, hold on now. You're asking people to be generous.
Donate.
And, for what?
for a I have to explain it.
Well, you maybe you might
well,
want
what
to.
What they want to do is five webisodes. They want to do animated episodes for the web. Which is a major trend happening
of Captain
now.
Canuck, that, who of Captain Canuck, who is a comic book legend.
A Canadian comic book legend created
by Richard Cumley.
Richard Cumley. And right now, so just head out. Well, just go CaptainCanuck.com.
Okay.
And you'll get links to the Indiegogo site, I'm sure, or Indiegogo Captain Canuck. And they'll explain everything.
All right. That sounds
now,
good. Okay.
We have a few more minutes, so let's talk about Chris. Every show for the month of April.
Yes.
You and I will be discussing what?
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day, which happens May the 4th, which is Saturday.
Yep.
First Saturday, May.
Yep.
Which is the day after the Iron Man.
Yep. Iron Man May 3rd. Yep.
Releases. So this is a great segue
into
Free Comic Book Day.
It's also the unofficial Star Wars Day.
Oh,
May
right.
the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
That's right.
I love it. So I wanted to talk about...
let's talk about the gold sponsors.
The
now.
Gold sponsors. So what the gold sponsors are these are the publishers that are putting out books. Now, the great part about Free Comic Book Day, Chris, is listeners
they're
should...
They're free.
Yeah, they're free.
Yeah.
Right. So if
That's
listeners
the great sponsor.
Go
That's...
to their local comic book shop
yeah.
on Saturday, May the 4th, unbeknownst to them, they
yep.
may not even be listening to the show. They'll walk in.
Probably
and think,
not.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, some guy's going to go, hey, the free comics are over on that table.
Right,
there.
Right.
And I go, well, what?
Hey, I like free comic books.
I love free comic books. Right. And free comics, like local comic book shops
yep.
will be giving away free comics.
Yep.
And I want you to help inform the listener on some of the major sponsors.
Okay, so you know what? As always, Marvel and DC are always the big guns. They always come up with something big for the Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, what's DC coming out with this
Superman,
year?
Superman, Last Son of Krypton.
Now, is this kind of like a setup for...
I don't know, but they usually are. They're usually a setup for something that they have coming on later on in the year.
Yeah.
And so
they're always great jumping on points, aren't they, though?
They are very good jumping on points. So they've got DC has Superman, the Last Son of Krypton, and Marvel is going to have Infinity. Now... This is, I don't know exactly what it's about. However, remember we talked to you at the beginning of the show about Thanos.
Thanos
number one, the origin of Thanos came out today. And remember I mentioned that Thanos had a great miniseries called, not Crisis on Infinite, Infinity Gauntlet.
I don't remember, but I'll believe you.
Okay, so it had the Infinity Gauntlet, and that's where he went around looking for what was called the Soul Gems for his Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I remember
now,
that.
Now, Marvel has a new comic coming out. I don't know much about it. However, it does have Thanos on the cover and a number of different heroes, and it's called Infinity. So
yeah,
I'm guessing
that
it's going to be a tie-in, a lead-in.
Listen
into
to
the
me, Chris. Listen
Infinity
to me
comic.
And hear me.
I'm hearing you.
Okay. Marvel is moving toward the cosmic Marvel. Especially
they really are.
Cinematically.
Yeah, absolutely.
That outer space cosmic Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
I think partially because they've given their licenses away for the New York for the New York crowd, Daredevil, Spider-Man, and stuff
I was
like that.
Say, personally, because those are licenses they have left.
So what do they got left? They got Thor, you know, like was already cosmic, and you know they got the characters like Thanos.
They're gonna have eventually like Silver Surfer.
No, they won't, because Fox has flippin' FF, and that's the one mistake they made. You and I have discussed this before.
Okay.
They need to give Fox $1 billion
to get
FF. Not FF.
Silver
to get
Surfer
back
and Galactus.
Yeah,
I agree.
So they can join that cosmic fray.
I agree. Anyway. Moving right along here, Walking Dead, of course, is going to have a free comic. Archie, or the World of Archie Digest, is the first issue. They're going to give that
away
for free.
Archie is always, Chris, every year, Archie is one of the best. I won't say selling, because we're not really selling them.
I don't want to get into it too much, but there's going to be a new Star Wars comic. It's got Darth Vader and Boba Fett on the cover.
Boba Fett.
Bongo Comics has a free comic, and they've been around for 15 years now, so they've been around long time. So you know what, I highly recommend, actually not, I think it's longer than 15, I think it's 20 years.
20
they've been around 20 years.
Wow.
20 years. So you know what, lots of stuff. Oh, and IDW has TMNT, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow, that is a great lineup, and we'll talk more about it. I mean, we left it till like 22 seconds before the end of the
as
show.
As we always do, running out of time.
We always do. But
listen, sadly, that is all the time that we have for today. So
All right.
Hold on. Our producer is pointing towards himself.
We are actually in a rush for time, so I do want to reiterate to everyone, we are actually doing Comic Culture After Hours located at comicbookdaily.com exclusively, where you can find the next 15 minutes of radio feed and all the topics we couldn't discuss.
Oh, boy. Getting a little blue, I guess.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein. It is engineered by our young buck, Andrew Robach, to my left and to your right, Chris. For comic suggestions, get onto comicbookdaily.com, scroll, and enter the comments in the comments field. And we're also on getthepointradio.com.
And remember to go out and support your local comic book retailer.
Please.